Do objects of different weight fall at the same speed? At school, we are told that, by letting balls drop from the Tower of Pisa, Galileo Galilei had demonstrated that the correct answer is yes. For the preceding 2 millennia, on the other hand, everyone had been blinded to the fact by the dogma of Aristotle, according to which the heavier the object, the faster it falls. Curiously, according to this story, it seems never to have occurred to anyone to test whether this was actually true before Francis Bacon and his contemporaries began observing nature and freed themselves from the straitjacket of Aristotelian dogmatism. It's a good story, but there's a problem with it. Try dropping a glass marble and a paper cup from a balcony. Contrary to what this beautiful story says, it is not at all true that they hit the ground at the same time. The heavier marble falls much faster, just as Aristotle says. No doubt at this point, someone will object that this happens because of air, the medium through which the things fall. True, but Aristotle did not write that things would fall at different speeds if we took out all the air. He wrote that things fall at different speeds in our world, where there is air. He was not wrong. He observed nature attentively. Better than generations of teachers and students who are prone to take things on trust without testing them for themselves. Aristotle's physics has had a lot of bad press. It has come to be thought of as built upon a priori assumptions, disengaged from observation, patently wrongheaded. This is substantially unjust. Aristotle's physics remained a reference point for Mediterranean civilization for so long, not because it was dogmatic, but because it actually works. It provides a good description of reality and a conceptual framework so effective that no one was able to better it for 2,000 years. The essence of the theory is the idea that, in the absence of other influences, every object moves toward its natural place, lower down for earth, a little higher for water, higher again for air, and higher still for fire. The speed of natural movement increases with weight and decreases according to the density of the medium in which the object is immersed. It's a simple, comprehensive theory that provides an elegant account of a great variety of phenomena. Why smoke rises, for instance, and why a piece of wood drops down in air but floats upward in water. As a theory, it is obviously not perfect. But then, we should remember that nothing in modern science is perfect either. The bad reputation that has become attached to Aristotle's physics is partly the fault of Galileo, who in his writings launches a scathing all-out attack upon Aristotelian theory, portraying its adherents as fools. He did so for rhetorical reasons. But the bad reputation of Aristotle's physics is also due to the silly gulf that has opened up between scientific culture and humanist philosophical discourse. Those who study Aristotle generally know little about physics, and those who are engaged in physics have little interest in Aristotle. The scientific brilliance of books by Aristotle, such as his On the Heavens and Physics, the work from which the very discipline derives its name, is all too readily overlooked. There is also another, more significant factor that explains our blindness to his scientific brilliance. The idea that it is impossible to compare the thought produced by cultural universes so distant from each other as those of Aristotle and of modern physics, and that therefore, we should not even try. Many historians today express horror at the idea of seeing Aristotelian physics as an approximation of Newtonian physics. To understand the original Aristotle, they argue, we must study him in the light of his context, and not through the conceptual frameworks of subsequent centuries. This may be true if we want to improve our understanding of Aristotle, but if we are interested in understanding today's knowledge, how it emerged from the past, it is precisely the relations between distant worlds that counts.